So I know many of you are wondering, where on earth did I disappear to over these last 4 months? And what on earth did I do? Now, there's a wonderful map right there on the wall with some of your ideas. And I had a chance to look at it when I was in the office on Wednesday. And you suggest all kinds of interesting things. Maybe that I went to Mexico to ride the new trains of Claudia Scheinbaum organized. Or maybe I was meditating in the Himalayas. Or perhaps I went to Greenland or to Denmark to visit with Queen Margareta. Or even, and I bet I know who this is from, I protested settler violence in the West Bank. And even though these are all incredible ideas, I think some of them perhaps say more about your dreams and visions for your life. And I really hope that you can realize them. Now, others of you got close when you suggested that I was dancing flamenco in Spain, which I did at least watch in Sevilla. Or when you said that I went to Vienna and Leipzig researching J.S. Bach, which actually happened during my previous sabbatical. So today I want to share with you some of the mystery around my sabbatical in 4 chapters, focusing on restoration, roots, reverence, and return. But it's just a taster rather than a travelogue of everything that happened. And then over the next few months, in fact, through the end of August, I'll be delving into greater detail about the many learnings that I garnered from these past 4 months, and there were many. And perhaps, actually, Del, since you're sitting right there, might be easier, right, for Del to do it. You'd be willing to put some pins on the map behind you for the places that I mentioned today when I mentioned them, and then we'll start filling in more details as time goes on. Does anyone know where the pins are? You need your glasses! Are the pins back there? Okay. So the first step was restoration, as you see up there. And I restored in Portugal. In fact, I spent New Year's Eve in Lisbon. But honestly, when I arrived there, I was really rather more exhausted than I even realized on the heels of the holiday season, being quite sick and moving out of my apartment. And in fact, the last 3 years after I returned from my last sabbatical with 2 broken feet and dealing with divorce, they were really challenging for me, as many of you know. And of course, I had mistakenly, aspirationally titled my previous sabbatical A Pilgrimage to Wholeness. And what I didn't realize then was that the journey towards wholeness would first teach me a lot more about brokenness than I actually ever wanted to know. Oftentimes, I think we have to face our shadow, and we have to make it through trials before we can emerge whole. So after years of navigating divorce, moving out of my home, transitions, grief, caregiving, ministry, and simply living through these intense times together, I'd actually forgotten what true rest and restoration even felt like. But I'm glad to say that this sabbatical helped me finally complete that pilgrimage goal, and I returned to you much more whole and restored than ever before. Needless to say, I didn't give this sabbatical a huge aspirational title, but I rather just trusted it to unfold as needed. Now, of course, many of us carry levels of exhaustion that we barely acknowledge. We move from responsibility to responsibility, from crisis to crisis, from one health challenge to another, navigating endless emails, texts, and difficult news, trying to hold our lives, our families, our work, and everything together and just to keep going. Anyone live a life like that? Yes. So the first lesson of this sabbatical was not productivity. It was surrender, rest, and letting go. Letting go of all the struggle. And there were mornings in Portugal when I simply sat staring into space or lingered over a cup of tea and ate a delicious pastel de nata. ate rather too many of those little custard tarts. And I took long walks, and I basked in silence and beauty, warm water and spirit. And then I attended a week-long juice cleanse, which you see on the slide. That was actually the last day where we got to eat something, but the rest of the time we just got those juices that you see there. And I was able to clear my body of all the debris that it had accumulated, and boy, did it get clean. While I starved for a week, I had deep conversations with people from all over the world, and I huddled next to fires because you think Portugal would be warm in winter, but it's not. And I slept and did yoga and danced and fantasized about food a lot. But most of all, I breathed deeply and felt grateful to be in a space where no one needed anything from me. And of course, at first, I'll be honest, I felt guilty and uncomfortable to get such a privilege. Who was I to get this chance to rest and renew when I know that so many of us need that and could really use a sabbatical? Who here could use a sabbatical? Yeah, lots of you. I'm grateful that this is one of the blessings of my work and of those in academia. I know some of you in academia have had a chance to have a sabbatical too. But of course, our culture teaches us that our worth is tied to our usefulness, to our output, to what we do, to how much we accomplish, to how much we can carry. And yet, my friends, I ask you, is this really what life's about? With the death of my dear friend last week, I've had to reconsider again what truly matters. So on my sabbatical, slowly something in me began to soften. I remembered we are not machines. We are not human doings. We are living beings with nervous systems, not made for this speedy world. In fact, we're part of nature itself. And nature understands rhythm. The tides retreat and return. Winter gives way to spring. The sun sets and rises again, as does the moon. Even the earth itself resets and rests. So somewhere amidst Portuguese shores and Spanish cathedrals, mountains and ancient villages, I began to return again to the home of my soul. So perhaps this is my first invitation to us all. Where in your life can you find restoration? I'm looking at you, Randall, and renewal. What would it mean to take your own exhaustion seriously and slow down? What if rest is not laziness, but sacred responsibility? Responsibility to be able to offer your unique gifts from a place of abundance, not depletion, and to have the energy to go on. Are you okay, Carol?
Yes, I smiled down the road.
Oh, so sorry. So maybe this summer, my friends, your spiritual practice could simply be to pause and breathe, to sit beneath a tree and feel its roots, to stop apologizing for needing to rest, and to make space and restoration an active choice for yourself so that you can return again. Join us. Return again. Return to the home of your soul. Return to the home of your soul. Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return to where you are. Born and reborn. So in the vein of restoration and returning home to your soul, I invite us to share a brief time of silence together. Meditation, reflection, or prayer. Still your body, mind, and take a deep breath in and out. And close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And just feel your body as it rests against your chair and your feet touching the floor. I will ring the chime to mark the beginning and end of our silence. Doesn't it feel good to just drop into silence for a moment? And you know, it doesn't take much. We can do that at any time in the day. Just take a moment for some silence. So one of the deepest parts of this sabbatical was returning to the places and people who shaped me, to my roots. Back to England, this is a beautiful tree in England. Back to Germany and France. Back to old childhood friends and family, back to old stories and old versions of myself. I spent precious time with my beloved 88-year-old mother, who's online, hi, and had time to explore care possibilities for her as she lives all alone, far from family. And over long conversations, we walked streets and country paths I hadn't traveled in a while. And I heard accents and languages that still somehow live in my bones. And I revisited memories, both beautiful and difficult. And what surprised me was this: how much our roots continue to live within us. There were moments in England and Germany where I felt deeply at home. And other moments where I felt myself shrinking into old patterns again, like a teenager, old fears, old ways of making myself small in order to belong. Does anyone else do that when you go back to your roots? Because the truth is, returning home is rarely simple. Sometimes our roots nourish us. And sometimes they pull us back into identities we thought we had outgrown. And usually, they do both. But sabbatical gave me enough spaciousness to notice those patterns with compassion rather than judgment. And what I began to understand is that wisdom comes from integrating where we came from and how far we've come. It's about healing the wounds, and honoring the gifts. It's about choosing consciously what we want to integrate and who we want to become. And I also explored the roots of Unitarianism during my travels. I was moved by the tiny, determined Unitarian congregations that I visited across the UK and Europe that are struggling to survive. Little congregations of 5, 10 or 40 people, that's large over there, lovingly tending the flame of Unitarianism in old chapels, halls, and meeting houses. And not only did I learn a lot about English Unitarianism, but also by attending the European Unitarian Universalist Conference in Germany and preaching in the fellowship in Paris, which Sherry knew about because I was apparently advertising their newsletter. I understood more about the shape of Unitarian Universalism in Transylvania and mainland Europe. And it's all very different to our experience here. And I'll share more about that over the coming weeks. But again and again, I found myself thinking, Chalice has no idea how extraordinary it is. The warmth here, all of you people, the music, the welcome, the depth and breadth of this community, the commitment to justice and compassion, the willingness to grow spiritually together and to volunteer to make this congregation what it is. Look at what you're creating out there. Again, another extraordinary feat of generosity and everyone joining in together. All these amazing people contribute to this fellowship. And I want you never to take this community, this fellowship, for granted, because I've seen fellowships and congregations that are dying, that are holding on by their last breath to the preciousness of their community. And we have a community here that is thriving. And it's so important, especially in these secular, uncertain times. Yes? So my second invitation is you, to you, is A, never to take this for granted, but also to reflect on our roots. What has shaped you? What still needs healing? What gifts from your past are waiting to be reclaimed and integrated? And what can you appreciate about your life and this fellowship right now? Because we cannot truly return to the home of our souls if we're constantly running from ourselves or from our past. So if restoration brought me back to my body and roots reconnected me to history, then reverence reawakened my sense of wonder and mystery. And yes, I was there at dawn in this beautiful church in Vézelay in France. I spent these months wandering through ancient cathedrals, up mountain paths, through prehistoric forests in unique chapels, along pilgrimage ways, monasteries, and sacred sites across Europe. I visited places where mystics had lived and encountered the holy. I stood beneath the soaring beauty of Chartres Cathedral and walked the ancient labyrinth. And you'll hear more about that next week. And I sat in silence in the mountain cave of Saint-Baume in France, where legend says Mary Magdalene lived for 30 years in contemplation after Jesus' death. And I visited pilgrimage sites of Fatima in Portugal, Avila in Spain, Vézelay in France, and Orléans. I climbed mountaintops where the whole world seemed to stretch endlessly beneath the sky. And again, I was struck by this. Human beings have always longed for transcendence, for awe, to be reminded that we are but a speck in the magnificence of this creation. And there's something that happens when we stand beneath ancient trees or look over towering mountains or hear the organ echo through historic stone cathedral like I did in Paris. Something in us remembers that we're just a tiny part of this awesome creation. And remembers that life is larger than our schedules and to-do lists, larger than our fears, larger than our divisions, and larger than our little screens and endless news cycles. Honestly, I think many people today are spiritually starving, which leads to so much of our dysfunction and loneliness. They're starving for reverence, for wonder, for beauty, for silence, meaning, and connection. And as Unitarian Universalists, we sometimes become so cautious about religion that we forget that our human souls still long for mystery and awe, right? Okay. Transcendent experiences, whether through a beautiful piece of music like we heard earlier today from our choir, or through silence, or nature, or beauty. And beauty itself can be a spiritual practice, as you know, a candle flickering, just like here or in an ancient chapel, an exquisitely prepared meal. Looking at you over there, Miss Hillary. Bird song on a mountain trail, the scent of lavender in the south of France, or here. Red rocks jutting out amongst lush green foliage, the hush of a thousand-year-old light-filled sanctuary. Sunlight pouring through stained glass onto ancient stone, or the vastness of the sea. All these moments brought me home to myself and home to the mystery and to the awe of this existence. So I ask you, where does reverence live in your life? What awakens awe in you? And when was the last time that you allowed yourself to be fully astonished by being alive? Because, my friends, especially during hard times, like the times we are living through right now, we need to turn to awe, reverence, and the mystery. So maybe the spiritual task before us is not to explain away mystery, but rather to inhabit it more fully, to surrender to the unknown and remember there are some things we just cannot explain. And that's what brings sweetness to life. So finally, return. Eventually, every pilgrim asks the same question. How have I transformed on this pilgrimage? What am I bringing home? Because the purpose of pilgrimage is never simply to leave or have an adventure. The key element of pilgrimage is actually to return to who you are, to what you are, and where you are, and to return changed, awakened, more fully alive, having deepened your experience of life. So here I am, my friends, returning to Chalice, returning to ministry, returning to you all, this beloved community. But not quite the same person as I was at Christmas before I left. While I was away, my son graduated into adulthood. My mother faced some new challenges. My divorce was finalized. A dear friend passed away. I deepened connections. I encountered beauty beyond words. I rediscovered the sacred. I built new inner strength to face what we have to face. I put on a few pounds from too much delicious French food. I grew in many ways. I was inspired, expanded, and sometimes confused, but always grateful. And always in awe at this precious life we get to lead. Because we never know which day will be our last. I lived a life true to myself, and I lived each moment fully, which perhaps was the deepest lesson of all. Life itself is the great gift, isn't it? Not perfection, not endless productivity, not certainty. But life, allowing ourselves to truly live each moment of this fragile, beautiful, fleeting life we've been given, to love, to grow, to sing, to grieve, to begin again, and to gather in communities like this one and remind each other every week what truly matters. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for granting me this sacred time. It was honestly a trip of a lifetime. Thank you for carrying Chalice and thriving while I was away. Thank you for welcoming me back home again so warmly. I return with deepest gratitude and deep reverence for what we co-create here. and deeper conviction that communities like this matter profoundly. And I call on us all to engage fully and do the change, make the changes we can make only together as this incredible community. So as life calls us on, I invite you not to wait for someday to fully inhabit your life, but let life live fully in you now. Yes? Rest when you need to rest. Tend your roots. Seek beauty. Practice reverence. Love fiercely. And stay awake to the wonders and mystery of being alive. Are you with me?
Yes.
May we all return again and again to the home of our souls. But for now, let us let life call us on.